We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Happy Friday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you on a day where we got the good news that the NBA is back. Barring any unforeseen issues with the NBA Players Association, which we don't expect, the NBA owners approved the plan 29-1 yesterday to move forward with the Orlando campus, not bubble, campus experience, starting in July, and the finals will end on potentially as late as October 12th. And we have that going forward, and we have the NFL allowing coaches back in the facilities and people can get going there. We have the NHL with a plan, MLS avoided a lockout, and baseball is doing the baseball thing.
Yeah, pretty standard stuff all the way around the board at this point.
Be who you are, baseball. Be who you are.
By the way, looked into it more with the NBA, and again, one of the things being floated around is the higher seeds may get their pick of resorts.
Yeah.
And let me just say, all the resorts are wonderful at Disney World.
We enjoy all
the
love
Disney resorts.
One of the top ones there, the Grand Floridian. Yeah. My wife checked out the villas there yesterday. Yeah. There, man, oh, man. So, again,
I didn't need to check it out. I've lived it.
Depending on the Bucks and the Lakers, you know, two of the top seed there, they're getting their choices, man. Check out the villas.
It's going to be a real uncomfortable stare down as they walk by the Bucks going into their really nice villas, walking over there, LeBron just glaring at Giannis.
Mercy. All right, so we got a lot to get to today, including some situations with now college football finding its way back. And we heard the news yesterday out of Oklahoma State that they had, what, three or four people and test positive among the, what, 150 so that they tested with facilities and players and staff and all that kind of stuff. And 24/7 Sports is now reporting that some Alabama players also tested positive when they returned, although all these players were asymptomatic.
Asymptomatic, the report says there were five players. Again, for the SEC, the actual voluntary camp starts June 8th, so that's next week, where the strength coach can kind of run the program. But for Alabama, and I'm sure for other teams, when you all get there, like these players have gotten there and gotten tested, then they'll go work out on their own. And I'm doing air quotes because that's kind of how it works.
But work out on their own or just like gather together. Yeah. Like I think at this point, doing all of that sans the official workouts is probably where they're at.
Right. That's exactly. Cause again, the official workouts can start June 8th. So they're gathering on their own. And so now you're looking at, the possibility of what we say of five Alabama players. We mentioned the Oklahoma State players. Marshall had a few players. Arkansas State has had multiple players. And that was always the question I had. We always heard about the guideline for one. Now I'm sure there's got to be in the guidelines for multiple because now you're dealing in football. So you're dealing instead of basketball of a 15 team roster to 100 or more by the time you get everybody in. So odds just say there's going to be more and we're seeing it. And this was the issue that we talked about. What happens now? Of course, they'll be isolated away, but they've already been around some of the other players. So as the testing is going to continue, again, asymptomatic, so not showing the signs outwardly, but still having COVID-19. So this, I'm really interested, and this is just the first handful of teams we see getting together of where this is could end up.
See, to me, this part's the part that's expected, though. Like, this is the easy part, in my mind. What we're getting ready to go through right now. Now, what went on here and the timing of it, if you're taking a test and haven't yet had the results, I don't know how you can justify bringing players together potentially in that interim, knowing what could happen, knowing there could be more exposure. Because here's where we're at right now. Every team that comes back, we're going to have a rash of positive tests because they've been out in the world,
right?
They've been out back at home, and the team hasn't been able to control it. That's expected, and to me, that's easy because, like you said, you've had months to plan for this. And so they're going to go to their separate building or separate hotel. They're going to be quarantined for 2 weeks. They're going to monitor symptoms and I'm sure recheck at some point, and you're not going to be able to come back until you are no longer showing symptoms. And certainly I think once you've tested positive, you would have to then test negative in order to come back. The hard part is going to be, all right, Now we've gotten through this initial wave. When are you testing again? We heard some places like Louisville are going to test on the eighth day coming back because they think that's a good marker in the beginning of this. But then when again after that? Because once you get back there, we're talking about campus environments quite literally, not the, you know, joke euphemism the NBA uses. But once they come back, are you able to keep the kids in the bubble? Are you able to keep these athletes, excuse me, in the bubble? And not, because once they go off campus, then you're dealing with the variable again. And now if they come back, they are working out together in close proximity. They don't have that barrier of a test to go back in for it. So that's where the roll of the dice in my mind begins. All of these tests are expected right now. All these positive tests that we, I expect right now. And to me, that's the easy part.
Yeah. You're right. But there's one thing you can say about this. Let's say they weren't on campus working out. Would they have been tested? And would they have tested positive? No. So, like, one thing that's good about this is, again, these are, we're talking about all these athletes so far that we know of that have tested are asymptomatic, as in they had no symptoms. They didn't feel bad. They didn't have a thing. So one positive that can come out of this right now is they are there. They did get tested and they're not out potentially spreading the virus while they're being asymptomatic.
Absolutely. Definitely power in knowing. All right. So, in our haste in the world of sports,
we had a lot going on the first hour.
We did, but things were flying everywhere. There was, you know, dirt and dust. It was crazy in the basement here, as you guys I'm sure all saw. We completely forgot about our Friday
tailgate. Oh, my God.
I mean, just completely punted on it.
We were caught up in the moment.
We were caught up in the moment, and it's because we have a lot of sports coming back right now, and we made this tail of the tape when we didn't have sports.
Wow.
And we wanted to manufacture these Friday fictional fight cards to try and help everyone have a little bit of competition going into the weekend. You can vote on them at Twitter, at Golic and Wingo, and we just completely forgot about it. And we were doing, because last week we did movie coaches, yes. The non-football edition.
Non-football,
and
right.
We had guys like Mr. Miyagi in that one, and it was great. Mickey from Rocky, all these different things. So this week we decided we would mirror it, but do football coaches this time from movies. So we got movie football coaches going into this one. Not fictional, because some of them are real, as you will very well see. And so we got to kind of start to get a go on this one. So at Golic and Wingo, go vote. Tail of the tape, Friday fictional fight card. We have the movie football coaches edition. Let's start off in Texas in high school.
Bud Kilmer is a Texas high school football legend with 2 state titles and 22 district championships in 30 years of coaching and a mean streak a mile wide. Chances are, if you've ever picked up a football within 100 yards of him, that he has no doubt screamed at your father in public or asked you to stick a needle in your leg. Verbally abusive enough to drive Billy Bob to the brink, insane enough to choke out his starting quarterback at halftime of a game, and just walk back out to the field like it's all good, and backwards enough to believe that running on first down is still efficient. Seriously, his greatest contribution to coaching, other than loading up on the offices of local therapist, may have been leaving and allowing his quarterback duo of Mox and the injured Lance Harbor to basically invent the air raid offense in the middle of a game. Them boys having the time of their lives.
All right, 4 of y'all go on that side. We're going to put Tweeter on this side, get him to cover him one-on-one.
Oh, man, Bud Kilmer.
And we're not going to huddle.
Oh, so good. Again,
they invented the air raid.
If you don't know, Varsity Blues, the movie there, and Bud Kilmer, the
he's the worst.
He's horrifically bad. Well done. Well done on the introduction there.
All right, let's see who his competition is in Texas High School Division.
In Texas, high school football is just different, and coaches seem to be too. Coach Eric Taylor, a 2-time state champ and the pride of Dillon, Texas, known for his poise, wisdom, and Bobby Knight level of freakouts when he doesn't get a flag. But don't let his missteps, like uprooting his family for a job in Austin, fool you. His players will forever remember him for his signature pep talks, which you can do like a Mad Lib. Starting with a heartfelt, you listen to me, Wingo, and then you compliment, you're a hell of a host. The best of this network, in this time slot, on ESPN Radio. Next, convince, I believe you can do anything you put your mind to with a golf club in your hand. Make sure you generalize, every man goes through slumps, you're not alone. And a rhetorical question, so let me just ask you one question. Can you play like a champion and then nail the dismount? Well, then go show me. Clear eyes. Full heart.
I need a moment. I'll be all right. You feeling good now, Trey?
Wow.
I'm good. I'm ready.
Eric Taylor, Friday Night Lights. So there you go. Varsity Blues, Friday Night Lights, Bud Kilmer, Eric Taylor.
We made the exception for Coach Taylor because I understand that he is not the coach in Friday Night Lights,
in the movie. Yeah.
But when anyone thinks of Friday Night Lights, they think of Coach Taylor.
Oh, without question.
So we fudged that one a little bit. Bear with us. At Golic and Wingo, Bud Kilmer, Eric Taylor.
Love it.
Texas high school football.
And trust me, Texas high school football is a thing.
It's for real.
It is a thing like no other thing might be a thing. So get the votes out on that. But coming up next, an important message from some of the biggest names in the NFL.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Let's get you caught up on a little bit of what's trending. The WNBA is proposing a 22-game. Yikes. Sorry, screen just took over there. We're back. We're working with it. The WNBA is proposing a 22-game regular season starting on July 24th with the league playing at IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, sources tell ESPN's Michelle Vopel. The players have not agreed to the tentative proposal as some teams are still being informed of the details. Specifics on the playoffs, which would end in October, housing and testing have not been confirmed. Women's National Basketball Players Association Executive Director Terry Jackson said that she has been gathering feedback from players Thursday and will continue to do so today and throughout the weekend. Quote, no decisions have been made. Meanwhile, The NFL says coaches can return to team facilities starting on Friday. Coaching staffs will be permitted to return to team facilities, and the maximum number of personnel allowed in those facilities will be increased to 100. Quote, as has been emphasized in previous advice on reopening facilities, this may occur only if your club has otherwise received the necessary permission from both state and local governments to reopen its facilities. This was in the league memo obtained by ESPN. The NFL anticipates the 49ers are the only team that will not be able to go to its facility on Friday, being today. The NFL says the team is aware and supportive of this plan and has been in communication with local authorities to obtain all necessary permissions when available. And sticking with the NFL, more than a dozen NFL players joined for a video message demanding action from the league. Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, and Michael Thomas are among the many players featured in a passionate 70-second video message posted to social media on Thursday night. In the video, the players asked the NFL to state that it condemns, quote, racism and the systemic oppression of black people, and, quote, admit wrong in silencing our players from peacefully protesting. Here is that video posted yesterday.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am McCormick Dunn.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right to
peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has the top entertainment when you need it most. Watch Margot Robbie take us all into a twisted mind of Harley Quinn. Don't miss Birds of Prey. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. I got to tell you, in that video, One and three are kind of in what we've seen in all of these. You know, admit that institutional racism right. is wrong and you know, the Black Lives Matter. We've seen that in all the statements.
Yeah.
Number two, that's going to be interesting to see if the league and the owners are willing to admit we were wrong in denying our players the right to peacefully protest in the way that we all remember and that has been recently coming up in discussion in the last couple of days, going back that 4 years. That's I don't know if it fully sank in with me before this moment.
Well, remember, the NFL has tried to address this in the past. A couple of years ago, they said it was players can either choose to or not be on the field, and it led to that really awkward moment with the Pittsburgh Steelers
right.
where they thought they had agreed as a team to do something and not be on the field for the national anthem. And then Alejandro Villanueva, a former Army Ranger, walked out there and was by himself.
Yeah, he went to the end of the tunnel.
Right.
Just out onto the field a little bit.
And then, you know, there was some friction. I thought we were all in this together. But then Alejandro, because of his background as a military person, felt it was important for him to be out there standing for the anthem. And they found a way to work it out. But the NFL's tried to sort of get around this before. And I thought Bomani brought up a really interesting point yesterday. Remember, for years, I think it was up until 2008 or 2009, the national anthem was never part of the pregame ceremony with
right.
with the players on the field. It was a sort of a television thing that they put it in there and a salute to service. And that's when it became the norm. But for many, many, many years, Mike, when you played, that was not part of the process.
No, it was not part of the process. So what's going to happen going forward? Because, listen, for where this is going, and I mean in a good way, that it's not just going to fall by the wayside like, unfortunately, some of the others have. If this continues to go, there is good. Listen, we'll see what if any of the basketball players are going to do anything. They're going to be playing first, right, at the end of July. So when football starts up again, how many people have come out and said, see, this is what Colin Kaepernick meant? How many will maybe want to do that again? Will the league and the players union discuss that before games even start, if they start on time in September?
It was just very interesting because that's a direct shot, and that is the league's black players looking around and saying, kind of like what happened in December of that year when they got to sit down. This is our chance to go right at it and say, you are not going to deny us this thing anymore. And you have all those voices, including Patrick Bleeping Mahomes,
yes.
which we've talked about the importance yep. of white quarterbacks speaking up in a lot of this. The face of your league just looked at you and helped say that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They're being, you know, his father was for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
You know, played obviously professional sports as well. So he comes at it from that side of it as well. I mean, growing up, as he said, being in the locker rooms and such. So it is going to be, I never thought of it as deeply as you just did about number two there. Yeah.
Because that's looking right at the heart of the other issue and say, right. admit wrong and silencing yeah. our peaceful protests. Like, that is a direct shot at that issue. And I'm racking my brain now to try and remember if that was something that was ever addressed. We know we saw the responses when the president came out and talked, and we saw, you know, Shad Khan down there kneeling with guys before the game and all the different things that went on there. But the admitting we were wrong in doing that and saying that and that being a pointed part of this is interesting to me. And I wonder how that's going to be received.
And you just wonder how this went when the NFL plays, when we assume they're going to play on time, what the player reaction is going to be going forward. That's an important conversation. We've tried to have a lot of important conversations over the last week or so with a lot of people in sports. And we had a chance not too long ago to speak with Pistons coach Dwayne Casey, who's trying to help the league in its fight for social justice. And we started the conversation asking how he's doing in light of the events of the last 10 to 12 days.
Well, doing good, as to be expected in this, you know, in these times. I don't know if we've ever experience, and hopefully we'll never go through this again as far as the pandemic is concerned. And then you add on top of this the unrest and the other virus that we have in our society right now, and the problems and issues have all come to light, and it's kind of a double whammy. So I'm frustrated, but I'm also hopeful, you know, as far as what we're going through right now as a society and what I've tried to do, Mike and Trey, is try to use whatever platform I have and to voice, you know, and talk to people and try to touch, you know, one or two hearts of the older people and raise conversation with the younger generation.
So what has, as far as your talk with players, mm-hmm. you have the things that you want to do, but you're also the leader mm-hmm. of a team as well. So right. what have those discussions been like?
We had a great two-hour Zoom meeting. I don't want to call it a meeting because it was probably about 10 minutes about basketball, but it was about what's going on in our country right now, and just let everybody vent. We went around the room and allowed each player to say how he felt and what, you know, what give us, you know, your feelings. And I thought that was therapeutic. I thought that helped our guys to voice, because if you think about it, you know, we have strapping, you know, big, strong guys that, you know, are still young men who have not experienced a lot. They were young when the Rodney King uprising or riots or whatever happened back at that time. They were not around like, as I was when Martin Luther King was assassinated and all the riots that was going on, the unrest that was going on then. I remember those vividly. So, you know, so this is the first time in their lives that they've had these type of feelings. You know, they've seen the young man down in Georgia murdered. They've seen, heard about the young lady in Louisville, Kentucky, killed. And then you see the images on television about, you know, in Minneapolis. So it's so many that you can be, you know, there can be scars made that you don't even know and feel the anxiety the guys had. And I was right. We were right. Our team psychologist was right. There are issues that come about and guys really don't even know how angry and how frustrated they are. So it was good for us. The meeting was good. And then on a good note of hope, of what we can do, you can do, each player can do to try to bring awareness. And let's just don't make this a one-time thing. Let's make this a rest of our life issue as far as, you know, talking to people, having empathy for each other. And I had everybody. I had our training staff. I had our equipment manager. I had, everybody in our organization that was involved in basketball ops. I had them on the Zoom call. So it was a good education for a lot of people.
And I'm curious to that end, taking that whole response of getting everyone involved in that has certainly been something that the NBA has always done pretty well addressing these issues. But going forward, what did you make of the response from, you know, some of your peers in the coaching ranks, the NBA coaches forming a committee to try and address these issues going forward?
Well, that was intentional also. That was a great move with Rick Carlisle, who's the president of the Coach Association. And I work with Rick, so I know where his heart is and where his mind is. And again, it was purposeful as far as, you know, if you put Nate McMillan and Doc Rivers and myself out front, you know, pounding a fist on the table and saying we got, you know, it would have some effect, but not as much effect as it has when you, you know, have Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, Quinn Snyder, Rick Carlisle out in front, because that's who's going to be able to make change.
Well, Coach, while we all look forward to the sports coming back, no doubt about it, what you just talked about, you know, as far as society now, where we are, is so much more important, and really appreciate you coming on and taking a few minutes and talking about that moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike, and you guys be safe, and thank you for keeping it at the forefront, let's keep the conversation going.
That's the most important thing. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Okay, enjoy your show.
That is the most important thing.
Yeah, it was great to talk to him.
It was great to talk to him. He's always been a steady hand in all of this, and the important thing is to keep the conversation moving forward.
By the way, one point of clarification from earlier when we were talking about the NFL players' response to things, because you guys brought it up to me while we were playing back that interview from Coach Casey, and it was brought up to me on Twitter. When I referenced Patrick Mahomes, I referenced it with the obvious thought that everyone knows Patrick Mahomes is an African-American quarterback.
He's biracial.
He's biracial, yes. But Patrick Mahomes is a black man.
Yes.
And so I said, we've heard all about the importance of white quarterbacks speaking up on this, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, et cetera, and the like. My whole point was, the face of your league right now is a black quarterback, is an African-American quarterback who was the one in this video as a part of that, pointing back at the NFL. So that's my whole point is, white quarterback speaking up is one thing, but this guy is your, you know, reigning, is, you know, the 2 years ago, your MVP, a Super Bowl champion. The face of your league is an African-American quarterback, and he is the one that is a part of this video. So that was my point. I did not articulate that well enough. Wanted to correct
it. I got you. It was all good. You know what? We're with you. We get it. We understand. So we have colleges coming back on campus and people and athletes are testing positive. How do you deal with that? Plus the idea of so many of these athletes who want to let their voices be heard. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to legislate all of that going forward? Coming up, the commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, joins us. But first, Mike SportsCenter.
The NBA Board of Governors voted 29-1 to approve the league's plan to resume play at Disney World at ESPN's Wide World of Sports. Adam Silver then did raise some eyebrows when he said this Thursday on TNT's Inside the NBA. Good thought on safety and health, but the coaches aren't having it. Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle, who's the president of the NBA Coach Association, said, don't think so. Said he spoke with Adam Silver, and Silver admitted he may have jumped the gun on that one. College football, Florida State star defensive lineman Marvin Lewis took to Instagram Thursday to thank Seminoles coach Mike Norvell after he apologized to his players in a team meeting. The dispute stemmed from initial reports on Norvell's characterization of the contact he had with players following the police killing of George Floyd and ensuing protests against racial injustice. Wilson went on IG after that meeting and said the matter is settled. On this date, June 5th, let's go back to 1985. According to the Cubs game footage shown in the 1986 movie, Ferris Bueller took this day off 35 years ago, June 5th, 1985, to go to a Cubs game. It was the Braves and Cubs. Braves beat the Cubs 4-2 at Wrigley Field on that day.
One of my favorite scenes in that clip, they show up there. It's Principal Rooney at the restaurant watching the game, and he says, what's the score? And the guy says, nothing, nothing. And he goes, Principal Rooney says, who's winning?
Yeah.
The guy goes, the Bears.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Barbasol, America's number one shaving cream. That's Barbasol shaving cream. Choose Barbasol's thick and rich shaving cream, the American original for over 100 years. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
All right, Golican Wingo here with you on a Friday morning. Hope you and yours are well and safe as we continue to work our way through sports coming back in what has been a very, very difficult week with so many protests about the killing of George Floyd and so many players, professional athletes, student athletes, being a part of the process, making sure their voices are heard. And that is something that we're also seeing play out with college athletes returning to campus and getting ready to go and get ready for the upcoming football season with workouts beginning in so many places. And some places we're seeing athletes test positive. There's a lot to deal with if you're a commissioner of a Power Five conference. And we're delighted to be joined now by Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten. Kevin, thanks for being with us this morning. First and foremost, how are you feeling? How are you doing with everything that's sort of been playing out in this country over the last 10 days?
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on your show. You know, I'm doing well. I just do the best that I can, you know, every day to keep a routine, to stay prayerful, to get my workout in every day, to drink a lot of water, and just to make sure that I stay focused on all the issues that we're dealing with here. So I hope you all are healthy, and I hope you're doing well.
And along those lines, we have seen college athletes all over, including the Big Ten, be part of protests as well. What have you heard from their coaches and or the players about what has been going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, we have a call every morning with our athletic directors. I have great faith in our athletic directors, our coaches, our administrators, our chancellors and presidents. I have great faith also in our student athletes. And so that's one of the reasons why we formed or in the process of actually finalizing the details of forming the Big Ten Conference Anti-Hate and Anti-Racism Coalition. I'm looking forward to working with our student athletes and our coaches and athletic directors and chancellors and presidents to continually look at this as an opportunity for positive change. I think the best thing we all can do during this period of time is to listen. Because the first step, even before you can take tangible action, is you have to listen, you have to communicate, and one of the reasons why I'm really energized at this opportunity, because we are at an inflection point in our society of having to address, you know, issues of race and hate that have been going on since the beginning of time, and now we're at a point that we must address these issues and do everything that we can individually and collectively to make the world a better place, and a place that we're proud to hand down to not only our kids, but also our grandkids.
And now part of that explanation might lead into this question, but what are the goals for that commission going into this, forming that coalition? And is that something that's going to involve player voices as well, since we've seen some of them speaking up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the core of it will be our student athletes. And so we're working with our different schools right now to make sure that we get the appropriate names of student athletes who one are interested, but two who will have a strong voice in this area. I mean, this is something that we have an opportunity here to really, as I said, change the way race, change the way hate issues have been addressed. I mean, we have some systemic issues involving race in our country, in sports, in all areas of our community. And this is a time for us to change. So that's one of the reasons why we're focusing on tangible action. And those are, you know, opportunities to communicate, opportunities to have conversations with law enforcement. We're going to discuss what policy issues, what changes in the law that need to take place, voter registration. I mean, this is a absolutely critical time. I mean, 2020 has been an interesting year from COVID-19 and then also with the deaths of Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd. But it's here. I mean, we can't ignore it anymore. It's existed for a while. It's all those things that we've talked about in our private homes and around the dinner table amongst friends. But now we have to get this issue out on the table, admit to it, communicate, and then come up with plans for tangible action. So I'm looking forward to working with our student athletes and all of the other members of our Big Ten family.
Kevin Warren with us, the Big Ten commissioner, former COO of the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin, you are the only African-American commissioner in the Power Five conferences. What have been the challenges for you, and what do you consider the responsibilities of having that title?
Well, I've always focused in my life on looking at, what are the positive opportunities that exist. I've always challenged myself. I've challenged people to make sure that you open the door for individuals who have been maybe marginalized. And so I totally understand this is not a job for me. This is really a mission, for me to make sure that I do everything I possibly can in my power, that when people look at me, they get to the point where they don't even talk about, hopefully me being the first, that they talk about me being maybe the first of many to come. So it's not lost upon me that people will evaluate future people of color, future black men, black women, and also, I mean, people who may be from the LGBTQ community, women, who will come after me. And so I'm very focused every single day to make sure that I do the best that I can to handle myself with class and grace, to be humble, to work hard, to be helpful, and also to take a certain stance on certain issues from a societal standpoint that maybe people haven't felt comfortable about doing it, but to go forward with it. And so I have a responsibility. This is an incredible opportunity. The Big Ten has an amazing history. And so as I sit here to think, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of my press conference as far as what has transpired, and I've formerly been in this position since January 2nd. And Jim Delaney had a great, great career here over 30 years to set everything up. And then now it's for myself and those who come after me to make sure that we continually elevate the Big Ten Conference across the country.
Again, Kevin Warren with us, a Big Ten commissioner, and one of the other responsibilities is, well, it is every year, the safety and well-being of the student-athletes in the conference, but that just got up the notch as well, as we know, with COVID-19. Yep. And we've heard of a lot of different plans for schools and or conferences, and even in the professional ranks as well, Kevin. And the one thing we've always read from these guidelines is if a player tests positive, we separate them. But we're seeing in colleges, as these student athletes are coming back, multiple players, five players on this team, three players and a staff member on another team, two players. What's the plan for multiple positive tests? And is there a number of, if we get to this number of positive tests, we have to shut this thing down?
I mean, that's a great question. And one thing we all recognize, that this is a fluid situation. As you're aware, this is the first week that student athletes can voluntarily return to our campuses to start the process, and next week is when many of them will start those voluntary workouts. And so, we were fortunate early in March, to form our Big Ten Task Force for Emerging Infectious Diseases. And what we've done in the Big Ten is rely on our medical, experts But again, you know, you recognize one thing that makes the Big Ten unique and special is that we have 14 institutions that are across 11 states, and those states are contiguous. They go from Nebraska all the way to New Jersey. And you look at the number of COVID-19 positive tests in each one of those states, it really is different. So what we're doing is that, you know, all of our Big Ten schools will have some form of testing for the student athletes when they start to return to campus. And we trust our schools to follow the appropriate local and state guidelines. And as you said, you know, the health, wellness, and safety of our student athletes will always be at the top of our decisions. But again, you know, we're really 3 days, 4 days into student athletes starting to return back to campus to start voluntary workouts next week. And so this is something that we'll monitor. We are monitoring on a daily basis. And it will be interesting to see how this evolves. And we understand the fluidity of the situation. And so, again, when you start thinking about social justice and race and hate and COVID-19, 2020, needless to say, has been a very interesting year, not only for the Big Ten, for me personally, but all of us in our country.
Interesting is one of many words we could use to describe the landscape going forward in college athletics. Kevin, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for being part of the show today, and we wish you nothing but the best going forward. Thank you.
Well, thank you all, Mike Senior and Junior, and also Trey. Thank you for everything that you all have done, and thank you for being the consummate professionals and always being able to deal with these issues and talk about them. So, again, conversation, communication is so critical. It's been a pleasure being on your show, and I look forward to staying in close communication with you, and I hope you and your families stay healthy.
Thank you,
absolutely.
Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks
same
so much.
To you.
Interesting. I even take that word out and put horrific.
Yeah.
It's been a horrific. It's been a horrible
combustible.
Year.
This year sucks.
Yeah. You know what, though? But to that point, a lot of people said that maybe this is the year we needed to get this all out there and just
deal with it.
We've
got to have something positive coming out of this.
And maybe that's the thing. As bad as it's been, maybe, look, it's there now. You can't avoid it, and we've got to find a way to move past it.
Let's find a positive. Like, coming up next, apparently you guys all get to roast some dumb stuff that I said. So we'll get to that after.
We'll get to that after this.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
This whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
That.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Bites.
This can't be happening.
What the hell?
Golic and Wingo with you. The music means we're going to play the best of the worst or the worst of the best. Either way, you got
however you want to look
that Bites. That Bites is brought to you by your neighborhood, Sherwin-Williams. And Junior, you know, normally you start this off, but that's not going to happen today. You know why that's not going to happen today? Because you're leading off that Bites. We usually finish that Bites with something from the show, but these are really weird times, and so we needed to start with something today.
A Florida State court judge on Tuesday denied New Orleans Pelicans rookie Zion Williamson's request to stay discovery into whether he was eligible under NCAA rules when he played one season at Duke in 2018-2019. The Florida 11th Circuit Court Judge David Miller ruled that Williamson will be required to answer interrogatories and requests for admissions from attorneys representing Gina Ford and Prime Sports Marketing.
So I'm not going to lie. Yeah. When you did that first trending.
We owe you an apology.
We do about Zion. And you read what was there. Williamson will be required to answer interrogatories and requests for admission from attorneys, blah, blah, blah. You said interrogatories and Trey and I looked at each other like,
what the hell is that?
What is that?
That's what it is. It's legalese. It's stuff you learn. See, I don't know if you guys know this or not. I was a fifth-year senior and an academic All-American. I took graduate classes. Now, they were non-degree-seeking graduate classes, but essentially, I'm like a doctor in relation to you guys. So anytime you have questions about some of the finer workings of the legal system, medicine, just anything in general that requires postgraduate education, I will do my best to shepherd you for blind, but now you see because
of you are learned?
By the way, Junior, as you went into this long speech about your graduate classes that you took at Notre Dame as an academic All-American.
Oh, boy.
You've been saying the word wrong. It's interrogatory, not interrogatory.
Oh, I wouldn't even have known that.
Yeah, you know what? I said it quick on the fly, Trey. I was trying to meld it all together for you on this one. I got to do my best to simplify these things. By the way, if you were looking for a definition, yes. It's a form of discovery, written questions to be answered under oath.
That bites.
Listen, we all said the word wrong when you first said it. It's horrific.
Listen.
It is what it is.
I don't know what you guys want from me, all right? I was reading it on the fly. That was the
pants.
First.
That's why at some point, I want pants from you.
That's the first time I had ever seen that word. I'm not going to lie. So the fact that I got sold close it at all and didn't hiccup once, didn't even blink, I think deserves some sort of medal.
Let's get to something simple and quick. The 30 for 30 in that Lance Armstrong tried to show the real side of Lance Armstrong. One thing it definitely showed is how he feels about Floyd Landis.
Could be worse. I could be Floyd Landis, waking up a piece of shit every day.
That's what you think?
Yeah, that's what I know. I don't think it, I know it.
That bites.
Okay, tough guy.
I love my
God. Tough guy. And again, to be clear, Floyd Landis did to you what you did to Tyler Hamilton a few years ago. So the exact same thing happened.
I don't think. I know.
All right. This UFC preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. John Bones Jones relinquished his heavyweight title as a part of an ongoing spat with UFC President Dana White. He wrote a letter on Twitter last Friday, quote, "Don't be an effing liar. My reputation has already taken enough hits. I don't need this BS, Dana. I never asked for Deontay Wilder numbers, but how about since Wilder is making $30 million, we settle for half that? Since you said I'm the greatest of all time and everything," here was Dana White's response.
Being the greatest of all time doesn't mean you get $30 million. Being able to sell. John Jones has done a lot of things to himself. He's saying, in one of his tweets, he was saying that I tarnished you? You've done a very good job of tarnishing you. I haven't done that. Hunter told him, I'll walk in. You can come in here and walk through the numbers. I'll walk you through all the numbers. And he says, I don't give a what the numbers are. I want what I want, and that's it. It's not how life works. Why don't you guys fly back and tell your boss, I don't give a what this company makes. This is what I want. You're going to give it to me. See how that works out for you.
Progressive.
That bites.
Progressive Insurance. Watch the new Shower Sessions videos now at youtube.com/progressive.
All right, let's quickly get to the last one. We started with Mike saying something dumb. Let's end with it as well.
What a week that with all of this, the news Yahoo Finance made today and all those things, I didn't get to read the one thing I wanted, which is an actual article on Yahoo Finance.
Please do. It was unbelievable.
With the tagline, Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic candles shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom. That was a byline like murder hornets in 2020.
Who amongst us hasn't been there?
That bites.
Golic & Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance and aromatic male genitalia-shaped candles.
Plus toad venom mystic rituals. We're coming back.
It's Saturday at the Golic House.